Greetings, friends, fellow patriots, fellow citizens, and even non-citizens, and those of you who are watching from around the world, as I see, you know, the various URLs and IP addresses that connect to the video stream. Welcome to all of you to this week's edition of the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski. I'm the host of this podcast. I'm also the president of the We the People Convention. In this podcast and our emails, our text messages, our website, our phone app, our trips to go speak to groups around the state and the nation, our sponsorship of other groups and conservative activities are all paid for by the generous donations of the donors to the We the People Convention. And if you can afford to help as much as they do, please go to wethepeopleconvention.org and click on the donate link. We thank all of our donors. Thank you so much. We would not exist without you, and we could not do the things we do without you. For those of you who have been longtime viewers and listeners, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. Thank you for spreading the news, for sharing this podcast, for acting on the things that we ask you to do in defense of our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. For those of you who are new to the podcast, and we have new people, you know, every week, you're going to see a news aggregation show. So basically, we look at the news of the week, we get rid of the propaganda, or at least point it out, try to focus on the facts and the things that affect you and me and all of us and our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Because the fight we are fighting is not Republican against Democrat or conservative versus liberal. It's individual freedom and liberty versus state control. That's the fight. That's what's being imposed on us. The state has become too powerful. And, you know, and it's just a matter of us trying to fight off the restraints of the state that they keep, you know, taking more and more of our rights and our freedoms. And we're trying to push back on that. So that's what you'll see in this podcast. As you can see, you know, the flag is still flying upside down. And there's a reason for that. It's not because we, you know, disrespect our flag or our country. We love our flag. We love our country. It's a sign of distress, of severe, dire distress, where we're in extreme danger to life or property. And we are. And the second half of this podcast, man, I'm going to bring home some receipts to show you how much we are in danger. But that flag, go to wethepeopleconvention.org and search on flag upside down. And you'll see that the warning is about the communist Chinese and the fact that we are at war with them, and they have been at war with us for probably 30 years, but we don't think we're at war with them. And they're destroying us, and they're killing us with fentanyl, and they're destroying our economy, and they're destroying our families. And I'll prove that, okay, later in this podcast. But you need to know, and your friends and relatives need to know, we are at war right now with communist China. And that's what most of the things that are happening to us are coming from. That's who's paying for this, all right? That's what we're fighting against. We always begin our podcast by recognizing the January 6th political prisoners. Well, why? Because we could be them. They are the symbol of the tyranny that we are all under with this Marxist regime that stole the election in 2020 and now controls our federal government. And that's just a provable point, and we'll have some receipts about that. But the point is, until the January 6th political prisoners are released from prison, have their sentences pardoned, are given restitution, and the people who have illegally, you know, arrested and put them through these kangaroo courts in Washington, D.C., are held accountable for the abuse, the debasement of our rule of law, we will not be the United States of America again. Because the fight we're in, folks, it really comes down to reestablishing the rule of law. That's what's gone wrong in our country. What made America, America, what was different when we were founded 240 some years ago, was that we were not ruled by men, we were ruled by law. And there was equal justice under the law. that someone who was rich didn't have any benefit in the law over someone who was poor. That has eroded to the point now where it's just not true. And now we're saying that we are being ruled by men, not by law. That's the fact. That's the fight that we're fighting. We must restore the rule of law and our Constitution and reduce the size of government to bring back our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So please join me right now for a quick prayer for the January 6th political prisoners, their families, and their lawyers, that God will give them the strength to survive this horrific ordeal. And I've got a story after the prayer that just shows you this ain't stopping anytime soon. So join me now in a prayer. Thank you. Remember them every day, because if we don't win this election this year, a lot more of us are going to be in prisons just like them. I can guarantee you that. So this week I sent out a very touching video about the Freedom Corner vigils that take place every night. And I'm going to play that for you now because it got a great response and many of you, you know, had not seen this before. So let me play that right now.
Hey, folks, I got to try to walk away because of these See You Next Tuesday Antifa protests. I'll tell you where I am right now. I'm at the Freedom Corner. And if you don't know what that is, it's the corner right across from the prison where the January 6th folks are being held. You remember those folks, grandmothers, grandfathers, who for 3 years have been in this jail cell. Without seeing a judge, without a court date or a hearing. Now, we all know what's going on in this country, especially cities like New York. Murderers, illegal immigrants, as a matter of fact, beating the shit out of cops, beating the shit out of little old ladies, right out of revolving doors of justice. Imagine that. These folks are here for 3 years. Ashley Babbitt, you know who she is. Her mother's here. Got to know her well. Other family members are here. And every night, there's a group of people here. Every single night. This is my first time here. Every night, there's a group of people, no matter what the weather. And at 9 o'clock, like just now, people out here sing the national anthem in sync with the prisoners. They sing the national anthem inside at the same exact time. It's a very powerful, powerful experience. Sadly, this is what happens in this country. But the good thing is that it's all going to change. Might be a little while that they are still going to be here. But the day Donald Trump gets elected and is in office, these innocent folks will be out of that jail. If you're in Washington, stop by Freedom Corner every night between 7:30 and 9 o'clock. Just a little lesson.
So we posted this video at wethepeopleconvention.org. We put a map where you can find Freedom Corner. And if you're in D.C. or you feel motivated to go there and join the vigils, we encourage you to do so. You can imagine how much it helps the spirits of the prisoners, the political prisoners, to know that they haven't been forgotten. And so I thought that was an important video to share with you guys, and I hope you'll share it with other people because it's really important. Speaking of videos, last week we told you that Speaker Johnson from the U.S. House had released 5,000 more hours of video, and I was happy to see that, you know, there are people looking at that. And probably the most notable discovery in this new video was video of Kamala Harris, Vice President Kamala Harris, you know, basically leaving the Capitol before the, you know, the quote unquote insurrection started. And so the House Oversight Committee released the largest tranche of January 6th footage to date on Friday, publishing 5,000 hours of video documenting the Capitol Hill uprising. Much of the footage has been analyzed by January 6th defendant William Pope, who released his findings on Twitter. Perhaps the most notable finding from Pope was footage of Vice President-elect Kamala Harris leaving the Capitol at 11:21 a.m., hours before the building was breached by angry protesters. Pope's findings definitively disprove prior assertions by the Justice Department that Harris was in the Capitol when rioters broke into the building. Along with the footage of Harris, Pope also found video of possible FBI agents cheering as protesters stormed the Capitol. Pope filed a motion last month, which we covered in this podcast, to compel the Justice Department to release evidence related to multiple FBI agents who were among the crowd of protesters at the east side of the Capitol. And Pope is actually asking the court to allow him to bring these FBI agents in to testify in his hearing. So we thought that that was a good thing. I spoke to you last week, about the disappointment I have personally and that we have with Congressman Jim Jordan, in that we're asking him to bring the Bureau of Prisons, the person who runs the Bureau of Federal Prisons, into the House Weaponization Committee and confront them with the evidence of the torture, the mistreatment that has been happening to the J6 prisoners. Everything from unbelievable amounts of solitary confinement, being shackled for no reason at all, not being allowed to have eating utensils, being denied medication, being denied sleep, just being tortured. And we got this, well, we'll look into it. So it was surprising and a bit disappointing to me this week when this story came out. House GOP probes Prison Bureau's treatment of Hunter Biden's business partner. The House Oversight and Judiciary Committee on Tuesday opened a probe into the Biden administration's treatment of Jason Galanis, a former business associate of first son Hunter Biden, who is currently in Bureau of Prisons custody. Galanis participated in a transcribed interview with both committees last month, during which he claimed to be a victim of a pattern of retribution by the Department of Justice in order to prevent my home confinement, which would have been allowed and free access to congressional investigators, wrote Judiciary Chairman Jim Jordan. Gladys testified to his involvement in a scheme with Devin Archer and Hunter Biden, in which he was to secure cash for a hedge fund he created with the pair. Mr. Gladys specifically alleged in his transcribed interview that he has been singled out for unequal treatment while the Bureau of Prisons custody after he asserted in a petition of commutations of his sentence that Hunter Biden and the other business associate Devin Archer were complicit in the same illegal act that put him in jail. But Devin Archer and Hunter Biden weren't charged. They all did the same thing. He's in prison. Hunter Biden's not. Yeah, funny how that works. But my question is, why isn't this being done for the January 6th prisoners, Jim? So the Bureau of Prisons Director Peters, they gave him until March 19th to comply. Well, when they comply with their letter asking this stuff, they need to follow up and then say, what about the January 6th political prisoners? I mean, it just boggles my mind that it's taken 3 years and still no one's done anything to defend the January 6th political prisoners. And so then this story, you know, kind of puts it all in perspective, okay? Because we know, and you know, I'm hearing about this. After a pause, January 6th arrests are now sharply increasing. And I've picked up on this, and I think you've picked up on this. Let's see here. My paper straight. The pace of FBI arrests and the opening of new January 6th criminal cases quickened so much in late 2023 and early 2024 that the District of Columbia's federal courts could bend under the weight. In the past 2 months, 93 people have been arrested and charged, according to the Department of Justice reports. At the current rate, some 445 new cases could hit the docket in 2024 alone, which is more than happened in 2022 and 2023. In total, up to March 6, at least 1,358 people have been arrested by the FBI and criminally charged by the DOJ for crimes related to January 6. The current trend is to hold. Total arrests would be 2,150, but the time the statutes of limitations on January 6 crimes expires in early 2026. William Shipley, a former federal prosecutor who has represented more than 50 January 6 defendants, said he noticed an upswing in cases starting in September of 2023. Every day you see two or three more, Mr. Shipley said. My own view is it's a political operation. Just my personal opinion. I think the Department of Justice, the Biden administration, is committed to continuing to keep this story front and center for the purpose of the campaign. Election interference, folks. The top arrest states include Florida with 129, Texas 104, Pennsylvania 93, California 90, New York 80, Ohio 71, Virginia 67. Together, they comprise nearly 50% of all the January 6 defendants, according to the research that was released this week. I have had at least four calls this week of people in Ohio who are now being charged that weren't being charged. This is just flat out to scare you. That's what this is about. This is about don't you dare try to stop election fraud at your Board of Elections. Don't you dare speak out against the Biden regime. Don't you dare support Donald Trump, or we're going to lock you up too. That's what this is about, folks. How's that for tyranny? When I talk about individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity versus the state control, that's what this is about. They're trying to show you we're in control, you're not. Sit down, shut up, and do what we tell you. We're standing up, speaking out, and saying, the hell you're in control, we're in control, and we're going to show you this election, and we're going to take back our government, we're going to reestablish the rule of law, and we're going to apply the law to you Marxist SOBs who stole the election and stole our nation. Okay? That's the battle. For you people who are new, doesn't get any more straightforward than that, right? There it is. So let's talk about, we'll go in now into how that battle is being fought and won, right now in real time. I am not going to talk about the stupid State of the Union speech. I mean, why would anyone tune in to be lied to your face for an hour? Why would you do that? I'll talk more about that. I thought the story of the night was that Clarence Thomas and Alito and Amy Coney Barrett did not show up, which was totally appropriate, because what did Biden do in his angry old man speech? He did what Obama did. Who was the first one to do it? Obama, you remember? He singled out the Supreme Court. Because see, that's playing to the base, because what do they want to do? They want to remove the last bit of resistance to their Marxist, communist agenda. And the Supreme Court, boy, those guys are applying the law. We can't have that. We can't have that. So what did Joe Biden do? Same thing Barack did, right? He basically pointed right at the justices and called them out for Roe versus Wade. Yeah, totally political theater. It was disgusting. It was disgusting. But according to the polling, 32 million people watched that disgrace. 32 million people. Now, that's down from 37 million that watched Trump's last State of the Union in 2020. And God willing, this will be Biden's last State of the Union, because we're going to defeat him and he'll be a one-term president. But, it's just unbelievable to me. Now, again, remember, there's 330 million people in the United States. There's 168 million, adults. And 32 million people watched it. That tells you kind of what it's all about, right? Who's really paying attention? That's their base, okay? And it's not very big. That's what you got to understand. So why is he mad? Why are they mad at the Supreme Court? Well, because the Supreme Court spanked them, spanked the lunatics. Supreme Court rejects the left's insane attempts to use the 14th Amendment to keep Trump off the ballot by a 9-0 vote. Even the Marxists were calling out Ketanji Brown and Sotomayor and claiming they can't read simple language, you know, English, and that they were terrible for going along with this. No, it's called the rule of law. And listen, folks, this was stupid from the start. They wasted tens of millions of dollars of your and my tax money when we're broke as a joke as a country to carry out this facade, this charade that was lawfare. It's just that simple. It wasn't even a hard decision. Last year, left-wing groups launched a nationwide effort to exclude Trump from primary ballots, citing Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. While most states have rejected these attempts, the Colorado Supreme Court declared Trump ineligible in December. Maine Secretary of State eventually followed suit, and last week, a leftist judge in Illinois removed Trump from the state ballot as well. Okay? But states have no power under the Constitution to enforce Section 3 with respect to federal offices, especially the presidency. The ruling, you know, was passed down. It never had a chance. This was just pure election interference. And if they had gotten Merrick Garland, who's now the AG, remember, they wanted him on the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell, to his credit, stopped that from happening. If they had people like Merrick Garland on the Supreme Court, they would approve this, not because it's the law, but it's because they wanted the power. Just like gay marriage, folks. Gay marriage ruling? No, that wasn't a ruling under the law, and that needs to be overturned because it was not. It was an opinion? Yeah, the personal opinion of Justice Kennedy and you know, the rest of the lefties. There was no law there. There was law here. And they enforce the law. We can't have that. Oh, come on. So they're already talking about, you know, we got to pack the court and all that stuff, you know. But it's just a matter of, you know, they don't want the law unless they can use it against us. That's what it comes down to. The only thing the Marxists want to do is use the law against you. And really, they're misusing it. Just like the January 6th cases, just like this. And so Trump is on a roll. Where he's, you know, the Fannie Willis case in Georgia is falling apart. The January 6th case in D.C. is falling apart. They didn't get the ruling they wanted on this. I think the court is going to rule at least partially in Trump's favor on this very big case about presidential immunity because it has so much impact on being president and what you can and can't do. And I'm really confident they're going to throw out the ruling about the obstruction of an official proceeding, which is a complete misuse of the law by the DOJ and the FBI, and everybody who is part of that needs to lose their jobs a year from now when Trump is president and we control the DOJ. So that's why he pointed them out, at the State of the Union address. But, you know, it was a waste of time, and all the analysis of it is a waste of time. And I'll tell you right now, the woman from North Carolina who they were all trumpeting and Clay and Buck on, were saying on the radio that they think she could be a Trump vice president candidate. Yeah, she flopped. Her response was terrible. I'll tell you who had a great response. Go watch the RFK, the Robert F. Kennedy video. He has, it's like a 6-minute video of his response to State of the Union. It was pretty powerful. I watched Tucker Carlson's response. And it was insightful, and he had Alex Jones on, and that was pretty interesting. But the State of the Union, I'm sure you didn't watch it. I didn't watch it. There's nothing to see there, folks. It's just pure propaganda. Okay, and so why is it pure propaganda? Why are they doing what they're doing? Well, because Trump is killing it. Trump dominates Super Tuesday voting, and Haley has dropped out. And he just keeps rolling. The lawfare isn't working. Trump is now within 200 delegates of clinching the Republican nomination as focus shifts to defeating the Democrats in November. Palm Beach, Florida, former President Donald Trump romped with massive victories across Super America on Super Tuesday, leaving Republican Nikki Challenger, Nikki Haley, in the dust. As they call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one, Trump told supporters Tuesday night at a watch party at his Mar-a-Lago residence in Palm Beach. And they tell me, the pundits tell me, they've never spent anything so conclusive as this. Laura Ingraham actually said, this is like the biggest comeback in American history. That if Trump can pull this off, and we can pull this off, and elect Trump and get back control of our government, this will be the greatest political comeback in American history. And that's no joke. That's no joke. But when we elected him in 2016, yeah, that was God's will. That was God's hand on our country. And I think God's hand is still on our country. And I'm just glad that, you know, we're getting these victories. So to give you just the statistics, Trump now has 1,031 delegates for the Republican convention. He needs 1,215 to win. On March 12th, that's this coming Tuesday, there's four primaries, Georgia, Hawaii, Mississippi, and Washington. And even by sweeping all of those, now that Nikki Haley's not even on the ballot, okay, or not running anymore, she's on the ballot, Trump will be just short of the 1,215. But on March 19th, when there's five primaries, Arizona, Florida, Illinois, Kansas, and Ohio, that will put Trump over the top. And so, you know, that's where things stand, and that's a good thing. And, you know, the reason they're pulling out all the stops is because he's killing it. And what do I mean by killing it? Well, this is in the Gateway Pundit, and it gives you some perspective. Shocking New York Times poll. 97% of 2020 Trump voters ready to vote for him again in 2024, while Joe Biden loses almost 20% of his voters and 10% to Trump. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, they claimed, which I think is totally bogus, that Biden got 81.3 million votes in 2020. If he loses 20% of that, he's down to 67.5. If Trump keeps 97% of his 2020 votes, which it says people said they are, he had 74.2 million votes in 2020, that would be 72 million. But if 10% of Biden's voters go to Trump, Trump would have like 80 million votes. We got the votes. The question is, can we protect the integrity of the election? And I'll talk more about that here in a minute. So they're not giving up, right? The left's not going to give up. They're going to fight back. And so what are they doing? Well, this story was an interesting story because we're seeing it sure as heck here in Ohio. Teachers unions spending millions on GOP primaries in 32 states. And I've been warning you about this, and I've been screaming about it in Ohio because this is a serious threat. Remember, I did this story for you guys after the South Carolina primary that said, no, Nikki Haley didn't win. No, 40% of the Republican primary voters didn't vote against Trump. What it showed was the organized effort of Democrat activists to rig the vote by having Democrats cross over, and 15% of the people who voted in the South Carolina Republican primary were Democrats. 15%. Folks, you can swing a lot of close elections with that. And that's exactly what this story is about. As Fox News reports, the report from the Daily Signal suggests that various local affiliates of the American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association have been increasingly donating more money to Republican primary candidates for state legislatures over the last 6 years. According to database maintained by Open Secrets and Follow the Money, the largest teachers unions in 32 states have dramatically increased donations to Republican state house, assembly, and Senate candidates since 2018, donating up to $117,000 to individual candidates in Republican primaries. The donations, get this, the donations consistently freeze once the primaries are over, as the teachers unions then shift their support to Democrats in the general election. I've been saying this and saying this and saying this. Write this down. Don't let the Democrats decide your Republican candidates for November. That's what they're doing. They're looking at close races. And the Democrats are saying this Republican is much more like us than that MAGA Republican. So let's give this guy $117,000 or this gal, and let's win the primary. So that in the general, it's really two Democrats running against each other. I am deathly scared, literally, about the Ohio 2nd Congressional District down by Cincinnati. You know why? It's a red district, pure as can be. Brad Weinstrup is the congressman there now. He's retiring. 11 people are running in that primary. One of them is a stone-cold Democrat. One of them. With 11 people running, you can win that primary with like 18% of the vote. If the Democrats could move 15% in South Carolina, they can elect that Democrat. We could lose a Republican House seat by the Democrats crossing over and electing somebody in the Republican primary. This is not a joke. And that's why MAGA has to turn out in huge numbers, like it's a general election. Because even though Trump has won and is going to be the nominee, you can't say, well, I'm not going to vote in the primary, because if you don't show up and vote down ticket for the congressman, the U.S. senators like we have in Ohio, Bernie Marino, Trump's endorsed, for the congressman, for the state house and senate members, for the county commissioners, for the sheriffs who are MAGA, Trump's not going to have the support he needs next year at this time to deport 10 million illegals, right? You're going to need your county sheriffs and your mayors and your county commissioners to help round them up, identify them, and ship them out. That's up to you and me and us. Get the word out. We got MAGA has to dominate the primary in your state. And you say, well, it can't happen here, but there's 20 states. 20 states have open primaries like Ohio has. There's the evidence that the Democrats have figured it out. The unions are spending money. The Democrat unions have given $2.7 million in Ohio to try to keep in office what we call the Blue 22. 22 quote-unquote Republicans who got bought off by the Democratic unions to elect a speaker of the Senate, of our Ohio House, who's controlled by the Democrats. They're spending $2.7 million on these House seats to keep these 22 people in office. Wow. And our patriots are hard-pressed to overcome that, because we don't have $2.7 million, but we're going to win a bunch of those seats. But that's just the proof that this is happening. So what else are they doing, right? They're spending money in the Republican primary. They're trying to rig everything they can rig. So the absolute political tool and fake Attorney General Merrick Garland played the race card in a pathetic attempt to stem the flood of black voters abandoning Biden and the government plantation for Trump. Speak on Sunday in Selma, Alabama, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland decried efforts by states to implement voter ID requirements as discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary. Are you kidding me? This clown is the Attorney General of the United States, and he says that photo IDs to prove you are who you are to vote is discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary. Garland spoke at the event at the Tabernacle Baptist Church to commemorate the 59th anniversary of Selma police officers attacking demonstrators in the civil rights movement. What a blatant political ploy. That's an insult to black Americans to go to this black church to make this insane statement. And I'll show you why it's insane. He said, there are many things that are open to debate in America. One thing that must not be open for debate is the right of all eligible citizens to vote and to have their votes counted. Garland did not define what he meant by eligible. He said the right to vote is still under attack, don't you know? It's under attack. And that is why the Justice Department is fighting back. That is why one of the first things I did as Attorney General was to double the number of lawyers in the voting section of the Civil Rights Division, which should be disbanded when Trump becomes president. The Civil Rights Division of the FBI and the DOJ should be gone. It's a political tool. It's a license to be racist against white people. That's what the Civil Rights Division is. And that goes back to Eric Holder, who famously said that white people can't be discriminated against, only black people can. And he said that, literally. That is why we are challenging efforts by states and jurisdictions to implement discriminatory, burdensome, and necessary restrictions on access to the ballot, including those related to mail-in voting, the use of drop boxes, and voter ID requirements, he stated. 36 states' laws request or require voters show some form of identification at the polls, the National Conference of State Legislatures notes. Only 36? Why not 50? Why not 50? Because they want to cheat. I guarantee you, the 14 that aren't are all blue states. 14 states and Washington, D.C. do not require any documents to vote at the polls. Voters across all Democratic demographics support voter ID laws in virtually every poll by almost 80%, Mr. Garland. This typically includes more than 60% of Democrats, the Heritage Foundation points out, adding 64% of black voters, 77% of Hispanic voters, and 76% of low-income voters support voter ID laws, according to the poll conducted by Honest Elections Project. And this guy is going to a black church and trying to say that you're being discriminated against because you got to show a photo ID. What else can they do in the world? Can they get their food stamps without a photo ID? No, they can't. Can they buy liquor? Can they get on an airplane? Can they rent an apartment without a photo ID? No, they can't. Oh, but making you identify yourself at the polls, that's discrimination. What a lying SOB. Okay? And then we had this story, and I just wanted to do it because I thought it was rich, how the pushback. Black Trump supporters respond to Charles Barkley's unhinged slam. Fresh off of threatening to punch black Trump supporters in the face, Charles Barkley doubled down, calling any black person who wears Trump mugshot merchandise a freaking idiot. Barkley takes issue with former President Trump comparing his legal and political plight with that of black individuals in America. He made it abundantly clear he's not a fan of Trump, who he refers to as a white billionaire who is asinine and stupid. He made his clarifying statements on Wednesday edition of King Charles on CNN. But here's what he's getting pushed back. Here's a picture that was on Twitter that says, "Anyone seen Charles Barkley? I heard he was looking for me. I grew up in the you hit me, I'm going to hit you back era." And there's a picture of this giant guy, black man, who's wearing a Trump, the mugshot that Trump took when they arrested him in the D.C. case. And he's wearing that on his shirt. And he's basically saying, "All right, Charles, come on." Well, you know what? The fact is, Trump went to speak to this black group in South Carolina, I think it was. It's a big deal in the black community because black people do see that they're doing to Trump the things they do to black people all the time. And so for Charles Barkley to freak out and say, "Oh, he's a white billionaire." Yeah, that's not racist. Hey, Charles, I don't call you a black millionaire, do I? I just call you a millionaire because I'm not a racist. But you are, Charles. You're a damned racist. All right? You just proved it. But the bottom line is, in the black culture, and black men particularly, there's a real affinity. And there's these T-shirts that have Trump's mugshot, and it says, "Not guilty." Okay? But I thought it was great to have people push back against that. And again, this is another story that just shows how opposite things are, that they're completely wrong. This was a great story. Democrat panic sets in as GOP's Mark Robinson advances, aims to make history in North Carolina gubernatorial race. This is the guy that I know you guys have heard. I played his "There Ain't But Two Genders." You can go to the We the People Convention video section and search on Mark Robinson, where he says, "There ain't but two genders." That's a powerful speech. And he said during that he became famous. Republican Mark Robinson's rise in North Carolina politics has been nothing short of spectacular. It all started in the spring of 2018 when Robinson, a Greensboro resident who at the time worked in furniture manufacturing, appeared before city council to speak his mind on gun rights as the city considered canceling the gun show. During the nearly 4 minutes he spoke, a fired-up Robinson said he was fed up with law-abiding citizens like himself being the first ones taxed and the last ones considered and the first ones blamed when it comes to debates about gun rights in America after mass shootings. Okay, it's a great video. You can find it on the internet where he just laid it out. And it was great to see a black man saying, I have a right to protect myself and my family, and you're infringing on that, and I have the Second Amendment. So then he ran to for lieutenant governor in the state of North Carolina, and he won. And Robinson was victorious over a well-funded Democratic opponent, and North Carolina's notoriously left-leaning media machine, to become the state's first black lieutenant governor, receiving even more votes than Trump did, who carried North Carolina that year as well. So he was lieutenant governor, and he's been outspoken, and that's when he did the ain't but no two gender speech. And now he ran for governor. Here we are 4 years later, and Robinson, who was endorsed by Trump, is aiming to make history again this fall, easily winning the gubernatorial nomination on Super Tuesday. In the general election, he'll take on the state's current Attorney General, Josh Stein, who got 200,000 fewer votes than Robinson did Tuesday in the primary. We are big, big-time fans of Mark Robinson. This guy, to me, is what America is about. He's not a politician. He's just an American who's proud to be an American, who has common sense and will not buy into the woke agenda. And you folks in North Carolina, man, get behind this guy. He's going to be an awesome governor. Awesome governor, because he won't put up with all the woke nonsense. Yeah, great to see him. You'll do so well in that primary. Here's some more good news about the election. So again, you know, they're trying to stop us by what? Rigging things. We're fighting back and winning. This is a big decision. Judge rules Arizona law requiring proof of citizenship is not discriminatory. Well, yeah, it's called the rule of law. A federal judge has ruled that an Arizona law requiring voters to provide proof of American citizenship is not discriminatory. The 109-page ruling summarizes testimony from a 10-day bench trial that concluded on December 19th, during which experts provide testimony regarding Arizona's history of voting discrimination and voter suppression. Okay, that's fine. There is a history there. But what's the situation now? In the ruling issued on February 29th, U.S. District Judge Susan Bolton said the passage of HB 2492 and HB 2243 by Arizona lawmakers was not discriminatory because the intent is to prevent voter fraud. The law's intent is to prevent voter fraud. It's not to discriminate. It's not racist. Considering the evidence as a whole, the court concludes that Arizona's interest in preventing non-citizens from voting and promoting public confidence in Arizona's elections outweighs the limited burden voters might encounter when it required to provide proof of citizenship. Judge Bolton wrote, referring to the documentary proof of citizenship. Judge Bolton cited existing Arizona election law, noting that to be qualified to vote in Arizona, a person must be a United States citizen, a resident of Arizona, and at least 18 years of age. That's the law. What's the case? What's the legal case you have to overturn that? The answer is none, but they don't care. Because if they got a leftist, woke judge, they would have said, oh yeah, throw that law out. Anybody can vote. Anybody can vote because that's what they want. That's why they're bringing in all these illegals, folks. That's why they're bringing all these illegals. Okay? And that's what the problem is. Okay? This is just showing you how their policies just don't work. Denver seeks housing alternative for property owners for immigrants amid shelter crisis due to budget deficits. Denver officials are searching for housing alternatives for illegal aliens, after Mayor Mike Johnston announced multiple shelters will be closing as the city addresses a major budget deficit. Johnston announced last week the city will close one immigrant shelter a week over the next 4 weeks, aiming to generate savings up to $60 million for the city's budget this year. That means that the $180 million deficit that we are facing is now close to $120 million. That still leaves $120 million of cuts to make, Johnston said during a recent press conference. So that means we have more work to do. Now, Denver Human Services is collaborating with local nonprofit organizations to find various forms of housing for the state's influx of immigrants. They're not immigrants. They're illegals. Reaching out to landlords and property owners about renting out spaces. We've got a kind of a rent cap of $2,000, Earing said. The city rolled out a program on Tuesday aimed at collecting data from landlords who have vacant properties available for rent at rates under $2,000 per month. Denver Human Services hopes to connect property owners and newly arriving immigrants seeking housing. Again, there ain't many houses open because even regular citizens can't find housing in the United States. And now you got these illegals that you've allowed in, Democrats, and now you're gonna outbid, you're gonna use our tax dollars, or in this case, wherever Denver City is getting the money, probably from the federal government, to outbid for rental properties for illegals versus your own citizens. That's why they're losing. That's why blacks and Hispanics are saying, I ain't voting for you. You're putting illegals over me. But they're just too stupid. And then this story came out where the government actually confirmed, right? The government, even the government data shows Biden's Marxist anti-American regime has illegally let in at least 8 million illegals in order to destabilize our nation and rig our coming elections. So this story is at WeThePeopleConvention.org. But after that story came out, this other important story broke, and I put a link to it. Breaking, Biden administration illegally flew 320,000 illegal immigrants from South America to 43 U.S. airports without telling Congress or the American people. You heard that right, folks. You heard that right. So here's the story. Thanks to ongoing Center for Immigration Studies Freedom of Information Act lawsuit, the public now knows that the U.S. Customs and Border Protection Agency has approved secretive flights that last year alone ferried hundreds of thousands of inadmissible aliens from foreign airports into some 43 American airports over the past year, all pre-approved on a cell phone app. So get this. They provided an app for cell phones, told people in South America that you can book a flight to the United States, even though you are illegal, and fly into these four, directly into these 43 airports. Okay? Think about that. You know why they did it? Because they wanted to cut down the number of people being counted crossing the border illegally. This is a blatant lie. It's illegal. It's a criminal act. This alone should be reason for impeachment of Biden and for impeachment of the heads of the Border Protection and U.S. Customs Service. It gets worse. But while large immigration-receiving cities and media lay blame for the influx of illegals on Texas Republican Governor Greg Abbott's busing program, CPB has withheld from the center and apparently will not disclose the names of the 43 U.S. airports that have received 320,000 inadmissible aliens from January through December 2023, nor the foreign airports for which they departed. The agency's lawyers have cited a general law enforcement exception without elaborating until recently on how releasing airport locations would harm public safety beyond calling the sensitivity of the information. Under these legally dubious parole programs, aliens who cannot legally enter the country use this app on their phone to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from these airports. The parole program allows for two-year periods of legal status during which adults are eligible to work, have work authorization. The government characterizes these programs as family reunification programs, even though there's no evidence that they reunified any families. And Elon Musk tweeted, "Treason indeed. Ushering in vast numbers of illegals is why Secretary Mayorkas was impeached by the House. They are importing voters. This is why groups as far as the far left fight so hard to stop voter ID requirements, which we just talked about, under the absurd guise of protecting the right to vote." This is an invasion. The federal government, our government, against the laws in the United States, which require certain things for people to be admitted into the U.S., that are being completely ignored, flew them into your state and city and won't tell you how many, what airports, who they are. Is that not tyranny? Is that not what we're fighting against? This is unbelievable. And did your governor do anything about it? Did Congress do anything about it? Is anyone going to be held accountable? No, no. You and I are going to have to hold them accountable by winning up and down the ticket. Destroy anyone with a D next to their name needs to be destroyed. The Democrats are not Democrats. They're communists. They're Marxists. The Democrat Party is dead. Just watch JFK's State of the Union speech or his video, 6-minute video on YouTube or somewhere, and you'll see there ain't no Democrat Party. All you people think you're a Democrat, you're a damn fool. You're a damn fool. And then this is a follow-up story. This is the result of this. This is just, it just gets more absurd by the minute. Florida sheriff excoriates Congress after a human trafficking operation finds illegal aliens using federal flight vouchers. Okay? So I'm thinking, all right, they flew these people into the United States. And you're hearing that at the border, they're letting people in and they're giving them plane ticket vouchers to fly. Okay? So I thought that was the extent of it. Oh, no, no. No, no, it gets much worse. A Florida sheriff says that he found evidence that illegal aliens were using federal flight vouchers in order to aid human trafficking across the U.S. border during the law enforcement operation. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd applauded his deputies for arresting 228 people during a massive multi-agency operation named Operation March Sadness 2024, playing off the NCAA March Madness theme. Among those arrested in the operation were teachers, coaches, medical professionals, active military service members, and 20 illegal aliens. In a media briefing on Tuesday, Judd blamed Congress members for their inaction to address the crisis on the U.S.-Mexico border. We have a crisis at the border, and because of the crisis at the border, we have people that are victimizing illegal folks, forcing them into the sex trade, Judd said. Because we allow these criminals in the country illegally, we all rail about this, and nobody pays any attention. Judge had said one suspect had brought three female illegal aliens to Florida from New York. They said that when they came into the country illegally, DHS gave them a form, an ID, paperwork that allows them to fly over for free. Oh, they give illegals ID, but they don't think blacks should have IDs when they vote, right? The victim said they were forced to pay back $3,000 to the female human trafficker under threat of violence before they would be released. They tell us, now get this, they tell us that they fly to major metro centers for free on federal government where they set up their appointments for sex all around the country. Do you understand what this means? It's not like you break into the country illegally. Well, you don't break in. The Biden regime lets you into the country illegally, gives you a plane ticket and says, where do you want to go? You say, I want to go to New York, Chicago, Dallas, Columbus, Ohio, wherever I want to go. And you fly there and that's the end of it. Oh, no, you can now get vouchers to just keep flying around the country for free. That's what he's saying, that they flew, they're using these to fly around the country for sex, to deliver illegals who've been forced into the sex trade. They will fly them to your city and deliver these sex slaves for you to have sex with. Our government is using our tax money to do this. Think about that when you vote. Think about that when you think whether you're going to turn out the vote in the primaries. Think about that every day. Wow. I'll wrap up the first half of the show with this story because we talked about it and it happened really quick. New Trump-backed leaders take helm at RNC after McDaniels exits. So Trump said he wanted to change. And he got everything he wanted. I guess that shows you how much power Donald Trump has over the RNC. The Republican National Committee has elected new leadership endorsed by former President Donald Trump after Ronald McDaniel, the group's longest-serving chair, stepped down on March 8th. Michael Whatley, chair of North Carolina Republican Party, whom President Trump endorsed last month to lead the RNC, was elected by a voice vote to succeed Ms. Daniels at the committee's spring meeting in Houston, Texas. He ran unopposed. Laura Trump, the former president's daughter-in-law, also ran unopposed, was elected co-chair by a voice vote. The leadership overall comes just days after President Trump dominated the Republican presidential primaries held on Super Tuesday. Mr. Whatley noted that the world is a much more dangerous place than it was 4 years ago. Peace through strength is more than just a great campaign slogan from Ronald Reagan. It is a recognition that the world is a much more dangerous place when America is weak, Mr. Whatley said after he was elected chair. After the election, Mr. Whatley said the RNC would be laser focused on getting out the vote and protecting the ballot. That involves engaging new and independent voters, registering new Republican voters, and getting to the polls, he said. We will work relentlessly in every state to ensure that it is easy to vote and hard to cheat. Mrs. Trump, Laura, succinctly summarized the role of the RNC. We have one goal. The goal is to win, as my father-in-law says, to win bigly. Hear, hear. Hear, hear. Now, can they do that? I've been researching, you know, this the new RNC chair, this Mr. Whatley guy, and he did do a good job in North Carolina. He had lawyers at the in the voting locations to make sure that there was no cheating. And I understand this guy is pretty sharp. So this may be a bigger thing than I thought it was going to be. I hope so. I hope so. We're going to keep an eye on it. But boy, if we can get the RNC to weigh in and help make sure it's a fair election, that'll be a big step, folks. A big step. So I thought that was pretty good news. So while the left keeps attacking us, you can see we're fighting back and we're winning our share of battles, and we got them on the run and they're scared to death, which means what? Like a cornered rat, they're going to fight even harder. But we've got to just keep pressing, keep pressing. And we'll talk more about that in the second half of the podcast. So I hope you enjoyed the first half. I'm glad you've joined us. I hope you will go back and review some of those different stories later. And I hope you'll tell people about it. We'll be back with the second half of the podcast for these messages. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. And my name is Tom Zawistowski. The We the People Convention News and Opinion Radio Program is paid for by donors like you. You can donate to the We the People Convention and support our cause by going to wethepeopleconvention.org or by sending your check in any amount to We the People Convention, P.O. Box 6211, Akron, Ohio 44312. When you're playing a video, including our podcast, you'll see this little cloud button. And if you click it, it'll actually download the video to your hard disk. And this works on our podcast page as well. If you're playing our podcast, and it's going to be loud, so I won't play it for much, but there's our podcast playing, and you can see this little, you know, download button, okay? The other thing you got to notice on our podcast page is that there's a link here where you can send me a message about this podcast. Hey, it was great. Hey, I didn't like it. What, you know, something was wrong, or here's a correction, that kind of thing. You can use that link. And then these are the stories that I covered in this particular podcast. And you'll see there's links that go to the stories, that to the articles that I used in reporting on that. So you can click on that. You'll also see that you can sign up for our emails and text messages, but you can also watch our podcast on Roku TV and on Amazon Fire TV. And these are the instructions for doing that. So this is all on our podcast page, right? Right on the front page where the yellow button was. So if you click there, you know, this is our podcast page. These are the instructions for watching on Roku TV or Amazon Fire. And I watch our podcast on TV. It just feels more comfortable. So you can do that. We're also on Rumble. If you go to Rumble, you should join Rumble. And, you know, it's Tom Z at WTPC. You'll see our podcast there. So you can get us a lot of different ways, including on Apple iTunes. And then this is an audio version of our podcast. If you click here, it'll just play the audio of the podcast. It will not, show you the video. So people can, you know, listen to that while they're jogging or, you know, working out, working in the yard, or just relaxing and just want to listen to the audio and not watch the video. And again, this is available on phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your computer, any way you want. And you can share
You know, this, you know, whatever you see, if you're on a page that you really like, and you know, you see an article that you think, geez, I've got to share this article, you know, with someone in my family, you can send them an email by clicking on the little envelope. You can post it on Parler or MeWe. If you click on this, you get all kinds of options, you know, where you can put it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, which we don't support, but you can do whatever you want. So we ask that you share what you see on our We the People convention site, and that you get more people to look at it, because that's the whole idea here, to help educate people, inform them. And then, as I said before, Link, we're not just about talk, we're about action. And in my podcast every week, which is published every Saturday, so if you know, the new podcast usually comes out every Saturday, and in that podcast I will ask you to do certain things that will help protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So that's the We the People Convention website. Come back often, use it to be formed, be informed, and share it with others. Thanks a lot.
All right. And thank you very much for those of you who do donate to our organization. You know, lots of organizations I'm talking to are saying that donations are down because, folks, I know the economy is tough, man. Expenses are really up like 30% for most things that we use. And yet our donations are not down. And I thank you for that because I know you're sacrificing. I know it's hurting you. And you know, if they're even up because so many of you are now donating to our you know, our Fund the Fight 2024 Victory Fund so we can help win federal races. And we'll talk more about that at the end of the podcast. But thank you so much for your support. And for those of you who can't give, I understand. But remember, it's not just about giving. You know, you do just as much good by telling other people about this podcast and then acting on the things we ask you to do. Now, I haven't didn't make any asks in the first half of the show, which is kind of unusual, but I've got a couple for you coming up. But that's what it's all about, is for us to grow the number of people who get good news, get the truth, and then, you know, share it and then act to protect and defend our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So I just wanted to thank all of you for sticking with us and in times when they're really tough. Now, you know, that flag is flying upside down, and I've been telling you guys all along that we have been at war with China and that everything that has changed in our country that is bothering the heck out of you came from China. It started way back. It started with, oh, women, you know, housewives, what a terrible thing to be. That's a terrible, you're worth more than that. You should go out and have a career. Let's destroy the family union, okay? With the whole women's movement. That was all paid for by the communists, okay? Now you've got DEI and CRT. It all came from the communists. The whole trans thing, which just appeared out of nowhere. Like, what the hell is this, right? We went, gay marriage was bad enough. There's no such thing as gay marriage. But guess who paid for all that? You think I'm lying? Well, who's paying for the trans issue? This story came out, blockbuster story. And this is out of Peter Schweizer's new book called Blood Money: Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans, by Peter Schweizer. China is funding the U.S. trans agenda. This is on our website at wethepeopleconvention.org. Blood Money: two of the biggest funders of the radical trans movement in the United States are Chinese-linked billionaires. Pro-Beijing groups, financially backed by two China-linked billionaires, are pushing the radical transgender movement as a means of advancing a Marxist agenda in the United States. Seven-time New York Times best-selling author Peter Schweizer reveals in his new book, Blood Money: Why the Powerful Turn a Blind Eye While China Kills Americans. In Blood Money, Schweizer, who's a Breitbart News senior contributor and president of the Government Accountability Institute, reveals China's multi-pronged covert attack on America. In Chapter 6, called Destabilizing Democracy, Schweizer explores how two billionaires, China-based American Neville Roy Singham and Alibaba co-founder Joseph Tsai, propped up radical activist groups that use transgenderism as a weapon against the capitalist order, don't you know? Schweitzer first focused on Singham, who grew up in Jamaica and Detroit, Michigan, and as a young man adopted communist ideological views. Joined a League of Revolutionary Black Workers, Singham ended up creating a software business named ThoughtWorks, while also serving as a strategic technical consultant for Huawei, the Chinese military-linked tech company. So from the beginning, they co-opted this guy, right? They brought him into their net. Through ThoughtWorks, eventually opened an office in Beijing, and in 2010, it held its software development conference in China's capital city. However, Singham ended up selling the company in 2017, a sale which was a financial boon for him and enabled him to dump money into various companies in China, where he now lives, according to Blood Money. While enjoying his affluent life and connections in Beijing, Singham has poured more than $100 million into organizations driving the protest movement in the United States. According to the chief scientist at ThoughtWorks, Martin Fowler, Singham sold the company so he could fund his activist work, radical pro-communist Chinese causes. Schweitzer, citing tax records, found that Singham's largest financial commitment is to a New York project called the People's Forum. Two co-executives of People's Forum, Claudia de la Cruz and Manlano de los Santos, are members of the People's Forum, which is a party of socialism and liberation, though whose leaders once demanded that party members offer a militant political defense of the Chinese government. Schweitzer points out how the PSL uses the trans movement, along with many other Marxist grievance-based movements, to push the dismantling of Western values. One of the most divisive issues in America today is the debate over trans rights. Here, too, you see the hand of these Beijing-linked organizations and financiers. For our PSL, the trans movement has become a central part of the radical Marxist movement. The revolution will not be gender-conforming, stated one article that examines the substantial amount of trans members on the PSL. Okay? There's your proof. The Chinese created the trans movement to destroy your kids and your family. And you bought it. You went along with it. You thought, oh, yeah, their men can really be women. Really? Really? It's all propaganda, and you bought it, and it works. And this is the game China's playing. They are at war with us. They are killing 100,000 young American men a year. You got that? With fentanyl. This is no joke, folks. They are literally... Listen, I just saw a story about this the other night. China manufactures the fentanyl, okay, are the ingredients, sends it to a port in Mexico that China owns, unloads the ingredients. There's 1,000 Chinese workers at that port who then turn it into fentanyl, and then China provides the drug cartels with the presses to make the pills. Okay, so they give the fentanyl to the drug cartels in Mexico, who then use Chinese-made presses to create the pills that look like Adderall or other drugs to go smuggle them into the United States to kill our kids. And Joe Biden is saying, let them all in. And Joe Biden knows this, and the CIA knows this, and the DOJ knows this, and the DHS knows this, and they're doing nothing. Donald Trump will send an ICBM to that port and wipe it off the face of the earth. That's what we should do. They're killing 100,000. That flag is upside down because we're in danger. Want some more proof? Oh, yeah. Let's just keep going because, you know, why not? Why not do this? China military could be reaping the benefits of the takeover of a U.S. agriculture company. What is this a matter of about? Well, America's largest pork producer was exporting massive quantities of pork to its Chinese sister company, quote-unquote, as a stockpiles food for Chinese military, according to the Daily Caller News Foundation. Reviews of corporate records and Chinese state-run media reports. Smithfield Foods, which is a name you should know, they are a big producer of pork in the United States, owner of roughly 150,000 acres of U.S. land, and operators of dozens of feed mills and production plants, have shipped hundreds of thousands of tons of pork to the Chinese-based parent company, WH Group, and sister company, Shanghai Investments and Development Company, since being acquired in 2013, according to corporate and Chinese government records, as well as state-run media reports. Shang-Chi has extensive ties to the People's Liberation Army, which it touts on its website, and is responsible for developing food for Chinese military to use on the battlefield, according to the PLA-sponsored Chinese military news. PLA is People's Liberation Army. While Shanghai didn't disclose, while the company didn't disclose where the pork and supplies to PLA or originates from, it's very likely that at least some of the U.S. pork product is being supplied by the PLA to the PLA, according to Brian O'Shea, a former military intelligence analyst. My opinion would be that the Chinese government is giving the superior U.S. pork to their soldiers, O'Shea told the Daily Caller News Foundation, based on his understanding of Smithfield's central role in Shanghai's pork supply chain, Shanghai's extensive relationship with the People's Liberation Army. After mobilizing centers, there's going to be a Smithfield pile and a Chinese domestic pork pile. And the Chinese domestic pork is most likely going to its citizens, whereas the superior pork is going to the Chinese military. Neither Smithfield nor Shanghai responded to multiple requests for comments. WH Group acquired Smithfield in 2019 for $7.1 billion. At the time, WH Group Chairman Wan Long said the acquisition would allow its company to meet the growing demand in China for pork by importing high-quality meat products from the United States. Adding the merger provides Smithfield the opportunity to expand its offerings of products to China through Shanghai's distribution network. The Daily News Caller Foundation recently reported that WH Group's chairman and four other executives are Chinese Communist Party members. WH Group's chairman and several top executives also hold, as previously held, positions with the Chinese government. Okay? So they bought one of our biggest pork producers, and we're now providing pork that China can't provide to its own military. You're using our pork for their military. And we're letting that happen. The military that wants to invade Taiwan and wants to dominate the world. And we're helping them. But it gets worse. It gets worse, okay? Here's a story that's just unbelievable. And again, just shows you how blind, stupid, dumb, and corrupt we are. Chinese military... Wait a minute. That's the wrong story. I'm sorry. I'm looking for... Let's see here. I got to find the right graphic for you. Sorry about that. Okay, here we go. All right, sorry about that. Okay, clearly overlooked. Probe finds strange communication devices on Chinese cranes in U.S. ports. What? What is this? A congressional investigation has discovered strange communications equipment on Chinese-built cargo cranes at U.S. seaports, the Wall Street Journal reported on Thursday. Rather than building them domestically at potentially higher costs, the U.S. relies heavily on Chinese-built cargo cranes that are relatively cheap to produce and equip at seaports across the United States. Now, you know, we are a big importing nation, and it's a lot of Chinese goods, but there's goods from all over the world, and they all come into these ports with these giant cranes that lift those containers off and put them on trucks. That's what we're talking about, right? Okay. The congressional probe discovered that several of these cranes built by Chinese mega manufacturer, ZMPC, contain communications devices that were not requested or don't appear to support standard operations, hiding existing espionage concerns, according to the Wall Street Journal. U.S. intelligence has warned that Chinese cranes equipped with an array of sensors and equipment could be exploited by Beijing as part of Chinese larger efforts to disrupt national security through several fronts. Beijing continues to insist that U.S. national security concerns about Chinese-built cranes are entirely paranoia and constitute an abuse of national power to obstruct normal economic and trade cooperation, according to the Wall Street Journal. Beijing is looking for every opportunity to collect valuable intelligence and position themselves to exploit vulnerabilities by systemically burrowing into America's critical infrastructure, including the maritime sector, Republican Tennessee Representative Mark Green, chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee, told the Wall Street Journal. Okay, so let me get this right. The U.S. government is allowing us to buy these Chinese grains, which we need to unload ships, because they're cheaper. Okay, fair enough. I don't like that. You don't like that. They should be manufactured in the U.S. But okay, that's one thing. But then there's these modems and cell phone connections and servers connected to these cranes, and we don't do anything about it. We don't do anything about it. Well, geez, what if those devices, if there was war in Taiwan and the U.S. was needing to ship things to our military in the Pacific, all those cranes just stopped working. And we can't manufacture any of them, and there are no backups. Yeah, you think that might be a frickin' national security risk? You think? You think? But those of you who say, oh, that flag upside down is bullcrap, Tom. You're paranoid. We're at war with China. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. They're funding the trans destruction of our families. They're buying farmland and U.S. manufacturers to feed their military. And they're selling us cranes that, oh, just happen to have spy devices on them. Oh, but don't be worried. Joe Biden's got it handled. We're in great shape. Don't worry about, you know, the U.S. military. Million of those guys are all over this. No problem. And don't worry about those 38,000 military-age Chinese men who are in our country, too. Nothing to see there. Nothing to see there. Okay? So then, you know, this is another important story because we're under attack on every front by the Marxist left who have bribed American officials. I don't care. Go to WeThePeopleConvention.org, search on Democrats China. You will see links to everyone from Obama to Swalwell, to Kamala Harris's husband works for a Chinese company. Mitch McConnell's wife is Chinese. He got $26 million to help the Chi-Coms. Okay? They bought our government. They bought our government. They're traitors. They should be tried for treason. Every single political official that is taking money from the Chinese in any way should be tried for treason and maybe sent to China. That would be appropriate. Okay? But now they're trying to do what? They're trying to shut me up. They're trying to shut you up. They don't want this podcast. They don't want you to know those stories. Did you hear those stories on Fox News? Did you hear those stories anywhere? Did you know about the crane spying? Did you know any of that? No, you don't. They don't want you to know that. So, shocking survey reveals overwhelming majority of Americans are concerned about future of free speech. And that is a debate, which it shouldn't be a damn debate. And it never was a debate in this country until the woke left and the Chinese made it a debate, right? Because now it's about misinformation and disinformation and safe spaces and, you know, the old, you know, nursery rhyme, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never harm me. Yeah, that's America. That's normal. That's common sense. That might have been a child's nursery rhyme when you and I were kids. But now they say, oh no, speech is violence, don't you know? Your words hurt me. Yeah? Well, yeah, when I grew up, my parents taught me that it's up to you to decide whether you're hurt or not. It's not up to me. You know, it's real simple. So if you're hurt by it, it's not me. It's you who aren't mentally tough enough to just say, they're only words and he's an idiot. What do I care? I've been called a dumb Pollock enough times in my life to just say, who cares? I know what I'm doing. I'm doing the best I can. But don't know. We can't have that. The concept of free speech is under attack in America, and the results of a new survey show that most Americans are aware of it, which is good. The Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression is collaborating with Polarizing Research Lab at Dartmouth College, reveals a rather concerning reality. More than two-thirds of Americans believe the nation is moving in the wrong direction when it comes to the right to freedom of expression. The findings of the poll shed light on growing concerns surrounding the rights protected by the First Amendment in today's divided political climate. According to their press release, a substantial percentage of Americans do not believe that free speech is what it should be in the nation. So follow this. More than two-thirds of Americans believe the country is on the wrong track when it comes to freedom of speech. When asked about whether people are able to freely express their views, 69% of respondents said things in America are headed in the wrong direction, compared to only 31% who believe that things are headed in the right direction. Those are the lefty, indoctrinated, college, you know, indoctrinated people who think that there is such a thing as mis- and disinformation. The poll also shows that only a quarter of Americans believe the right to freedom of speech is very or completely secure, and almost a third, 29%, says that it's not secure at all. The average American already thinks that free speech in America is in dire straits. Most worryingly, they think it will get worse, said the research advisor Sean Stevens. Researchers also found an evident level of polarization in the survey's findings, with nearly half of all Democrats optimistic about free speech in America, and only a quarter, 26% of Republican respondents sharing this view. Polarization not only divides American policy, but it fractures our assessment of the stability of bedrock features of our democracy, such as freedom of speech. The data is already disturbing enough, but it gets even worse. The survey also found that about a third of both Republican and Democrat respondents believe that the First Amendment goes too far in the rights it guarantees. A third. This is not an encouraging sign for the future of free speech, especially if this percentage grows enough to elect anti-speech politicians. The survey also assessed attitudes towards specific types of speech, with a surprising number expressing a reluctance to protect offensive speech. For example, about 52% of respondents said their communities should prohibit public speeches expressing offensive sentiments such as "all whites are racist oppressors" or "America got what it deserved in 9/11. See what I'm saying? They're saying that 52% of respondents said their community should prohibit public speech like that. However, there still is reason for hope. The survey found that 72% of respondents indicated that people should not be fired for voicing controversial opinions, meaning this whole thing of once you violate the speech codes, you dead name a trans person, which is insanity, okay? And it's free speech that you should be driven out of public life, have your business closed, you know, lose your job. 72% of Americans say that's wrong. So that's a good sign. But this is the fight of our times. There is no such thing as dis or misinformation. There is only information. Just like there isn't social justice or racial justice or environmental justice. There's only justice, okay? This is what the Marxists and the communists do. And I'll refer you at the end of this podcast to a video that will help you understand those concepts. But what happened this week, Jim Jordan was in, in a House hearing about the fact that the federal government is basically spying on us. And they found a secret portal used by the feds to flag transactions for words like MAGA and Trump. And so I'm going to play this rather long video. It's about 5 minutes of Jim Jordan that is going to just anger the heck out of you. But it's showing that they're not hiding anymore. They're getting exposed. So watch this because it's really disturbing.
Big government was colluding with big tech to censor Americans. That's the first thing we learned. But now it's big government colluding with big banks and big business to spy on everything Americans buy, every place they go, everything they do. Big government wants your financial data because it's full of sensitive information about you. Our investigation started when an FBI whistleblower, George Hill, came forward and talked to the committee. Mr. Hill was supervisory intelligence analyst at the FBI up in the Boston field office, told the committee that the FBI got information from Bank of America. Specifically, it received a list of any customer who made purchases in the Washington, D.C. area January 5th through 7th, 2021. The whistleblower supervisor, special agent in charge of the Boston field office, Mr. Bonavolanta, corroborated Mr. Hill's testimony when he spoke to the committee. And so did Steve Jensen, the FBI's Domestic Terrorism Operations Section Chief. But it wasn't just purchase data around a specific date that the FBI got from Bank of America. That was actually also overlaid with any firearm purchase at any time. And how did the FBI get this information? They asked for it. In fact, you can see on the display on the screen here, the email that was sent. The FBI told Bank of America, to recap our morning call, we are prepared to action immediately the following threshold customers confirm as transacting business in Washington, D.C. between these specific dates. So if you're in Washington, D.C., visiting your kids, maybe visiting your aunt, or maybe just a friend, the FBI wanted to know about every single purchase you made. And if you're a gun owner, look out, you're going to the top of the list. For simply exercising your Second Amendment right, you're on the FBI's target list. And never forget, the federal government got this information without any process. No warrant, and frankly, no notification. The bank didn't tell the customer that we're handing this information over to the FBI, the most powerful law enforcement agency in the world. Now, these FBI agents, Mr. Hill, Mr. Bonavolato, Mr. Jensen, they all said this was wrong and, in fact, sent the information back to FBI headquarters in D.C. So that's how our investigation began. But since then, and we continue to investigate, but since then, we've learned that the financial surveillance was broader and there was actually a specific objective. The federal government is building profiles on the American people. And the profile isn't based on criminal conduct, it's based on political beliefs. And if you got the wrong political beliefs, well, you're potentially a domestic violent extremist. Now, how are they actually doing this? What are the mechanics of this? There's this entity we've discovered called the Domestic Security Alliance Council, kind of Orwellian in sound and title, the DSAC. And this is an entity where the FBI, the Department of Homeland Security, works with 650 of the largest companies in the world. These companies have to do over $1 billion in revenue a year. They represent 2/3 of the gross domestic product of the United States economy. And they work through this controlled access portal. We'll put that on the screen here. What are they sharing in this secret portal? Well, we're not exactly sure because it's secret. But we do know that they share some information, share reports. And one of the reports we got, called a liaison information report, said this: any American who opposes firearm legislation, the easing of immigration restrictions, and COVID mandates is someone banks should be watching, because again, they might be an extremist. Now stop and think about that for a second. In other words, if you're against gun registration, you're for a secured border, you oppose lockdowns and vaccine mandates, you're a domestic violent extremist according to the FBI. And the government should get your data, should get your financial data. It actually gets worse. The federal government and banks also use what they call merchant category codes to flag Americans that shop at places like Bass Pro Shop and Cabela's. They flagged Americans who bought religious text. We can show you that one too. Because everybody knows, if you want a secure border and you oppose COVID lockdowns, then you probably shop at Bass Pro Shops and you read your Bible. And of course, all that makes you an extremist. Literally, that is the logic that you see displayed from the information we've been able to gather thus far in our investigation. Now remember, these are also the same folks who just a couple years ago told us, if you're a parent showing up at a school board meeting, you're a terrorist. If you're a pro-life Catholic, you're an extremist. Now, of course, if you oppose lockdowns, vaccine mandates, want a secure border, don't want gun registration, you're in that category as well. This is scary where things are headed. We've seen the censorship. Now we see what's happening with big banks and big government relative to your financial data. Again, all this being done with no process, no warrant, no notification to the customer that the banks are actually supposed to serve. Big government's not supposed to use big tech to censor Americans. And big government shouldn't be working with big banks to target Americans for behavior that is legal and constitutional. And that's the concern. That's why we're having this hearing. We will get to our guest here in a second.
Yeah, there's the proof. That's not opinion. That's not, you know, some reporter breaking a story. This is the House investigation with real whistleblowers providing the evidence. This is what we're fighting, folks. This is why we have to win this election. This is why you got to be all in. This is it. Don't save any of your bullets and your gun for this fight. This is it. Because that's your future, Orwellian future, if we don't stop these people. And I urge you guys, go on YouTube and just search under House hearings for weaponization. And you'll look for Jordan Peterson and Brett Weinstein. And they brought in some of our top thinkers to explain what is going on and what the danger is. We are this far from what they're doing in China, having it done around the world, where you have no freedom of thought, no economic freedom, no freedom at all. You're literally a slave. Literally a slave. And they can kill you or demonetize you or destroy you in a thousand different ways. They can take your family. They can destroy your community once you give them that power. That's what we're fighting. It's not coming. It's not like planned. They're doing it. They're doing it. And when Donald J. Trump becomes president and Project 25 comes out with these people that we're going to put in these agencies, we have to gut this evil cancer from our government. Gut it. We need to take all that data and destroy it. And they'll say, oh, there's, you know, that's a national security problem. Horse hockey. It needs to be all erased. It needs to be illegal. And everyone that had anything to do with it needs to lose their job, if not be tried for treason, for spying on the American people against our constitutional rights. Do you see the gravity of the situation? You see why I've been getting worked up the last few weeks? Because, folks, I'm not going to turn into Dan Bongino, okay? I'm not going to be Debbie Downer. And I showed you a lot of positives so far in this podcast. I've got some more to show you. But I'm trying to make you understand that we got to up our game. We got to quit thinking about that we can't do certain things, and we got to start dreaming about what could we do to blow these people out of the water, okay? Because this is war, and they're killing us, literally. And they're going to kill many more of us, millions of us, if we, you and I, we don't stop them. So here's a case where I'm just saying, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. I nearly cried when I had to post this. I mean it. Nan looked at me. She said, what did you just read? I look so sad. And I just didn't even want to tell her. I went to bed that night just sad. We are $34 trillion in debt, and that Republican-controlled House passes a bill that increases spending. But it's worse than that, folks. It's worse than that. Uniparty steals more of your money in passage of spending bill that increases spending by $30 billion over Nancy Pelosi's spending with $12.7 billion in earmarks, which are gifts to donors, despite $34 trillion in debt and soaring inflation that's caused by what? It's caused by government spending. The inflation that we're killing us, you know, and our ability to live our lives is from overspending. What do? They overspend. The Uniparty. That's the problem. The House on Wednesday passed a $460 billion spending package that will fund six agencies of government, relying Democratic support to make up for the majority of Republicans who opposed it. The bill passed 339-85. 83 Republicans voted no. 132 Republicans voted yes. 132. The spending package did not include new border security restrictions that conservatives had wanted. Is it a priority or not? Is it a priority or not? We're at war. If you allow them to destroy this oil refinery, you lose the war. So you have to protect it. We're saying the whole invasion on the border is their plan to do what? To make us a one-party nation like California. What does that mean? That means the whole invasion is to eliminate the entire Republican Party. And instead of saying, hey, I'm a Republican, you're trying to eliminate me, this shit ain't in the budget. Oh no. 132 Republicans, the majority of Republicans vote for their own demise. Now they think it's not their personal demise. We don't give a crap about the Republican Party or Republican voters because we're going to be rich and we don't care. The Chinese are going to take good care of us. Yeah, read some history, pal. See who's the first one or shot dead. The 1,000-page spending plan for the first six agencies of government, which have funding deadline of Friday, was released Saturday, and members of the House Freedom Caucus and like-minded senators decried the $12 billion and 605 pages of earmarks of the bill. A 1,000-page bill, 60% of it was giveaways. One North Carolina senator had eight earmarks that totaled, I don't know how many millions of dollars for all these little special projects in his district. We're broke. We're broke. You folks in North Carolina should scream bloody murder. Representative Chip Roy from Texas wrote on X that the bill is littered with earmarks, fails to secure the border, and punts on almost every GOP policy win. Thus, will fund most of Biden's lawlessness and tyranny. Speaker Mike Johnson has touted deep cuts to the EPA, a 10% cut, a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, a 7% cut, and the FBI, a 6% cut, which Johnson says was threatening our freedoms and economy. So they got this, you know, these three little things to make you think they got something. It's nowhere near enough, Mr. Johnson. Representative Norman says, Congressman Ralph Norman says his main issue with the spending bill is a lack of funding to stop the border crisis, and remarks that crony capitalism is taking over America, that corporate America has enlisted lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to do their bidding for them on Capitol Hill. Every dollar that's spent in Washington, D.C. has got an advocate. It's up to us to say no. The country cannot afford, particularly with the insane things that they are spending it on, and we cannot afford this. We cannot afford this. What part of that don't you understand? What lava land are you living in to pass this budget? Seriously. So at the bottom of the article at wethepeopleconvention.org, you can go see this article. At the bottom, there is a link where you can see whether your congressman, Republican congressman, voted for or against it. And if they voted for it, I think you know what to do. Because this is what the problem is. The Democrats, they wouldn't care if they had one vote lead in the House. They would have jammed through whatever they want to jam through. They would have shut down the government to get what they wanted. What did we do? We aided and abetted the Democrats. We aided and abetted the Marxists who are destroying our country. Remember last week when I talked about cutting the funding for the UN agencies that are funding the invasion, which is going to destroy the Republican Party? Yeah, funny, that didn't happen, did it? Didn't happen. That's our problem, folks. And in these primaries, you've got to be educating, particularly the people who are opposing, running against some of these rhinos, to make sure they understand this has to stop or we die as a country. It's not like, oh, it's just money or it's okay or, you know, it's just No. Our country's future is at stake and they are destroying it from within and you are facilitating it. That has to stop. And then this piece came out this week that was just nuts. Left's insane hatred of rural America will cost them this election. And this is about a thing that ran on MSLSD news that, you know, I'll read you a quote from. We need to run ads based on this video clip in every rural area in America. Yes, even non-white areas. Trump run rural America by 32 points in 2020, but there's no reason we can't make it 50 or 60 points in 2024. The white rural voters are the... This is CSNBC video, and you can watch it. If you go to our website, there's a link to the video, but this is the main takeaway from it. They had these two clowns on. Tom Schiller, professor of political science at the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and they just wrote a book, okay, about how white rural rage, the threat to American democracy. Okay, that's their whole premise. You are the threat to American democracy. It's not them. It's not the elites who are a threat. No, you are. He said, they did surveys. They said, the white rural voters are the most racist, xenophobic, anti-immigrant, anti-gray, geo-demographic group in the country. Second, they're the most conspiracist group. Third, anti-democratic sentiments. They don't believe in an independent press, free speech, or anything like that. They most likely to say that the president should act unilaterally without any checks from Congress or the courts or the bureaucracy. They're the most strongly white nationalist and white Christian nationalist. And fourth, they're the most likely to excuse or justify violence as an acceptable alternative to peaceful public discourse. What a load of crap. Okay? Like, oh, Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Yeah, they wouldn't use violence to get their way. They didn't use the burning of our major cities in 2020 to throw out Trump. No, it was you who went in, okay, to the Capitol. Yeah, so let me just kind of follow up on this. It basically, they said, while white working and rural folks used to have a lot of Democrats among them, but middle America has moved more to the right because Democratic policies have been a failure, flat out. Now you see attacks from folks like Joe Biden, who just did his State of the Union speech, who demonized millions of Americans as MAGA extremists for supporting Republicans. Perhaps he should have been looking at why they are doing so, because his policies are failing America on the economy, crime, and the border. But then you have to have this screed from Shaler painting white rural voters as a threat to democracy, and he lists a bunch of nasty characterizations. Conspiracists and election deniers. Have these guys looked at the left over the past several years? Talk about election denialism. Do these authors not remember all the efforts to interfere with former President Trump taking office from the left, the efforts to try to turn the electors, the anti-Trump riots on January 20th, 2017? How about Stacey Abrams? No, forget all that. No, we're the ones who are election deniers. Then there are conspiracies. Let's talk about Russia collusion hoax. And the left now seems to be re-upping for Russia collusion 2.0, as you'll see Talk on X seemingly suggesting the indictment of Alexander Smirnov wipes out the reality of the laptop or any other evidence about the Bidens. The bottom line is, this book is a pot calling the kettle black. But that's what they think of you. They think we're not America, they're America. We know we're America. We know that all this nonsense like gay marriage and transgenderism and DEI, which is just reverse racism against whites, and CRT are just all Marxist tactics to destroy us. Folks, that's why Tucker Carlson went to Moscow. And if you watch that video I told you to watch last week, he said, we were a great country. Racism was nearly dead. All of this is a construct. All of this is a construct. And now they're going to try to do this stuff on TV. You know what it's going to do? It's going to cost them the election. So you can go to the We the People Convention page, all right, and look at this story in the article section and play that video and share it with your friends. And then we'll see how many people in rural America vote for the Democrats, you know, this time around. It'll be more than it was last time. This is another little thing. You keep hearing about it's a threat to democracy. Everything's a threat to democracy. So what's behind this? I thought this was an interesting little tidbit. Obama advisor says Biden's threat to democracy messaging is for the privileged who don't worry about inflation. Get this. Democratic messaging about alleged threats to democracy resonates only with privileged Americans who don't have to worry about inflation, said David Axelrod, a former advisor to Barack Obama. I think that people who are sitting around their kitchen table talking about this are people who aren't concerned about what they paid for their groceries that are on the kitchen table, Axelrod said during a discussion on CNN's The Source Monday night. He said, if you're living with the concerns about inflation and the sort of day-to-day concerns of life, you probably don't have the privilege not to, then you're probably not talking about threats to democracy. The Biden campaign has leaned hard into its democracy messaging as it has become increasingly clear that Bidenomics has failed and that most Americans lack faith in Joe Biden's ability to steer the economy successfully. So do you see how they create these things? Because if you're making $200,000 a year and you don't care if gas goes from $3 a gallon to $4 a gallon because you got the money, well, then the threat to democracy thing is a way to create fear. Oh, you know, Donald Trump's a threat to democracy. Rural America's a threat to democracy. But the people who are the Hispanics and the blacks, they ain't buying that crap. And that's why the survey I showed you earlier shows that they're moving, you know, towards Trump and the Republican Party. And that's a good thing. I wanted to tell you this story because I think it is significant. Here's a map of NATO countries. And this week, Sweden officially joined NATO. Now, you can see it's the light blue country there. And you can see that Finland is not is just joining NATO as well. So now Russia has NATO countries on a big piece of its border. This is what Putin said in the interview with Tucker Carlson, that has caused him to invade Ukraine and basically warning NATO that if you continue to press us, we'll use nuclear weapons. Now, there are people like Tucker Carlson and some of his guests who are saying they think nuclear war is really close. Someone said that when we were growing up, they had the clock that said, how close are we to nuclear Armageddon? And I thought that was gone. Well, now apparently it's still out there, and it's 2 minutes to midnight. That we're the closest to nuclear war we've been since the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's something for you to note. But the fact that we in the United States and NATO moved to bring in Finland and Sweden isn't going to de-escalate the tension. It's raising the tension and making war much more likely. That's why that news is important to your individual freedom and liberty and prosperity, because if there's war, and God forbid if there's nuclear war, everything you got just gets wiped out, okay? That's why we tell you these stories. And again, you know, this is the problem. They're talking about putting NATO troops in the war against Russia. That happens, folks. Look out. Look out. Bad things will follow. This was good things, because you know the left is making hay, because the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that embryos that were created through the IVF process are humans and have the constitutional rights of humans. And this freaked a lot of people out, and it wasn't what they purported it to be, but fortunately, the Alabama legislature and the GOP answered Trump's call to honor motherhood by protecting the IVF process. And this is a good thing. Alabama Governor Kay Ivey has signed a bill protecting doctors who provide in vitro fertilization and their parents from prosecution after Donald Trump called on the state to preserve access to the treatment. IVF had been paused in Alabama as a result of the state Supreme Court ruling that frozen embryos must be regarded as children. IVF generally results in the creation of several embryos that are not used or cannot be used, and the ruling saw hospitals suspend fertility treatments for fear they could be prosecuted for disposing of these embryos that are not going to be used. Trump urged Republican-led state legislature to act quickly to find an immediate solution to preserve the ability of IVF in Alabama, stressing the GOP should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, fathers, and their beautiful babies. It has now done so, with Governor Ivey signing its bill and explaining, Alabama works to foster a culture of life, and that certainly includes IVF. I am pleased to sign this important short-term measure into law so that couples in Alabama hoping and praying to be parents can grow their families through IVF. That's great stuff. And that's what we're saying. We're for life. But, you know, sometimes the anti-abortion forces who are now talking about life from, you know, conception to death are just going too far. And it's polarizing people and really hurting us with women. And so that was a good move by Alabama, because it just isn't right to close down those centers and deny people this opportunity, the only opportunity they may have to have children. So that was a good thing. This is another good thing. I love this. Minority business agency must serve all races, a federal judge rules. This is great stuff. Judge Mark T. Pittman of North District of Texas, who was appointed by former President Trump, argue that the Minority Business Development Agency eligibility parameters go against the equal protection guaranteed in the First Amendment. The ruling was a significant victory for conservative activists looking to tackle race-conscious programs in the wake of the U.S. Supreme Court 2022 ruling disabling colleges' affirmative action programs. Advocating for minority-owned businesses says the ruling is a step back for efforts to even the playing field for business owners of color who may face barriers to creating and maintaining businesses, the AP said. Here's the facts, folks. While there may have been discrimination against black business owners in the past, the discrimination is against white business owners now. Because all these government programs are racist, and this ruling proves it. The agency is part of U.S. Commerce Department and was created under the Nixon administration 55 years ago. Pittman argued that 55 years is too many. In the ruling, Pittman argued that the agency and the federal government have flagrantly violated constitutional rights for years. He added, time is up. Pittman ordered the agency to no longer impose the racial and ethnic classifications used in the past and no longer consider or use a business applicant's race or ethnicity in determining whether they can receive business center programming and funds. So think about it. What does the left always tell you? We're a systemically racist country. That it's literally baked into the laws that are prejudiced against blacks and minorities, other minorities. But that's not true. But you know what is true? This. Isn't this systemic racism? Isn't this legislated racism that if you're white, you can't get funds or help from this government program? But if you're black or Hispanic or some other group, they designate you can. That's called systemic racism. Guess what? It's out of here thanks to a court and a judge appointed by Donald J. Trump. That's what we have to do across the board. Across the board. Okay? So now I'm going to wrap up the program with this. I put this video on our website after watching it at TuckerCarlson.com. And if you haven't subscribed to TuckerCarlson.com, you need to do so. Why? Because he is the loudest conservative voice in America. And you, for $6 a month or whatever it is, need to support that voice, because if we don't have it, it hurts our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So in this video, he interviews Xi Van Fleet, who survived Mao's Cultural Revolution in China, only to come to the United States to see it happening again. However, in this interview with Tucker Carlson, she explains how they do what they are doing so that we can better recognize it and defeat it. It's a must-watch video for all patriots who want to save America. What I'm saying is, it's an hour interview. Unlike a lot of the people in our Tea Party groups who were, they came from Romania or Poland or, Ukraine or some, Soviet bloc country. And they said, when they joined the Tea Party, they're doing the same thing they did to us. The problem was, they didn't stop it in their country, and they really didn't have much to tell us about how we could stop it here, okay? What she does in this interview is she explains what they did in the Chinese Cultural Revolution, how they did it, how what they're doing here with CRT and DEI and all that is exactly the same thing, so that you can recognize it and stop it. It's a battle plan. It's looking at your opponent's game plan. It's like going into the game and knowing what plays they're going to call. It's a lot easier to defeat them if you know that. That's why this video is there. Go to WeThePeopleConvention.org, watch it, and then share it. It's really important info, okay? So I've asked you to call your congressman who voted for this insane increase in spending. Okay, I've asked you to do that. Click on the link in the story with the rhinoceros, okay, and call them and say, what are you doing? I've asked you to watch this video because it'll give you the game plan of the people we're trying to defeat. So all of you have given to the 2024 Victory Fund. I can't thank you enough. This week, There are major races, Senate race, congressional races, House and Senate races, that your money that you gave at the freedomforallpac.org, freedomforallpac.org, the money you have donated is going to be applied, all of it, this week. And then we're still going to raise more because we got to do more in other parts of the country, not just Ohio. And it's a long way to November. So when you get your tax return or something, you got a little extra money, consider sending money to the Freedom for All PAC at freedomforallpac.org, because I guarantee you we will put it to good use and we're going to win some races this week that would not be won if it wasn't for your help and effort. Now, I always remind you, this podcast is about, you know, the news that they don't get anywhere else, and you need to share this podcast with others. I hope you will do that. If there's something I haven't covered that I should have covered or that I was mistaken about, write to me at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. info@wethepeopleconvention.org. Do tell others about this and then act. On our podcast page, I will have links to every story so you can even learn more, follow it up. I will have the chapters player where you can just jump to one story without having to watch the whole podcast. I'm doing everything I can to arm you with the information you need to protect and defend your and my individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. I hope you will have a good week. I hope you will fight as best you can every day, every way you can, to defeat the Marxists and help us win this year's elections. I want to wish you, all the best in your health, okay? I hope you and your family have a great week, and God willing, we'll both be back next week for this podcast. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast, and my name is Tom Zawistowski. God bless you, and God bless America. Twice.